Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello and welcome to episode 97 of Absolutely Intercultural, the show that points to the diversity of culture, compares different cultures, and today we will highlight the culture of the social media, which make it easier to communicate and stay in touch with friends all over the world. My name is Laurent Borgmann, and in this show I will try to take you with me down under. We reversed the roles, and today Dino Nogarole, our regular editor, is presenting an interview that he did with me. So I'm turning from the host of the show into his interviewee. Now, the reason for that is that next week I will go to the other end of the world and spend 4 months in Australia teaching and doing research at our partner university. This will be the start of a new mini-series called Absolutely Down Under, in which I will tell you about the experiences in Australia and what cultural challenges I'm facing down there. The first challenge for me has been not to get nervous, although I still don't have my visa yet, and patience does not come naturally for a German. Now I'm 5 days before I get on the plane to Australia and I don't have my academic visiting scholar's visa yet. In our second category, Absolutely Abroad, we hear about the Go Out campaign of the German Academic Exchange Service, which motivates young students to look for opportunities to go abroad during their studies.
So students should go abroad for their own personality, but also for the European idea.
In our third category, Absolutely Trained, I'd like to present Jessica Deer, an American who lives in Lebanon and who I met at a bloggers meeting of the Anna Lindh Foundation in Luxembourg. The organization she works for offers training sessions for social media exchange. Now, while in my own work, I often stimulate students to go abroad in order to experience new cultures and question their own, Jessica explains why in Lebanon, the challenge is rather to make the different cultures within the country meet and communicate with each other.
You will find Christians who've never met a Shia Muslim because they're so contained in their own communities.
But let us now start with the show. The Sunshine Coast is calling, and yes, I'm leaving the German autumn behind and go right to the Australian summer. Today, we start a new mini-series called Absolutely Down Under. The reason is that I am going to the University of the Sunshine Coast, where I'll teach and do research at our partner university. This means that the next couple of shows will be coming to you directly from southern Queensland. So our editor, Dino Nogarole, asked me for an interview. A new situation for me, because normally it is my role to interview the people on this show. Let us listen to Dino's interview.
Hi, Lawrence. Today we have a new situation because usually you do the interviews with people who are going abroad. And today you are the interviewee.
Right.
And I heard you were inspired by the Go Out campaign by the DARD. So tell us, what is your plan for the next 4 months?
Yes, this is true. I actually have plans for myself now. I'm going out myself. I'm going to spend 4 months in Australia. And yes, I was inspired by this Go Out campaign, which was actually aimed at my students. And while one of the representatives was counseling our students afterwards in an interview for this podcast, I asked him, did he have experience himself with going out? And then he told me his experience. And then he turned to me and he said, what about you? Do you have any experience? And yes, I do. But I had to point to 7 years ago for my last long experience. This was a year in Belgium, in Brussels. And so actually I thought, well, yes, maybe I should do something about that. Maybe I need to go through that same experience again that I'm sending my students through. And maybe it will help me to counsel the students if I'm the person who's going abroad now. So, yeah, to give you an example, the visa application, it's very easy for me to say to the students, oh, don't worry, I've seen it so many times, it'll always arrive 2 days before you actually go to the US. But now I'm 5 days before I get on the plane to Australia, and I don't have my academic visiting scholar's visa yet. And to be quite honest, it feels a little different if this is for yourself and then you get cold feet. So I think I'm learning a lot in this process. Also, when I then arrive, and I'm positive this will work out in the end, when I arrive there, making a fresh start, having to find new friends, because for 4 months, of course, you need to get some friends there, invest in people and everything. Now, I think this is a new experience for me, especially because it's outside Europe. I'm excited about it because it's very far away at the other end of the world. But on the other hand, I have a feeling that it's maybe culturally not so different as some other countries which I visit every now and then, like Morocco and Egypt, which are only 4 hours flight away. But I think that Australia is going to be quite a new challenge for me, I think.
But didn't you told me that you have been in Australia before?
Oh, yes, I have actually. But that's a little different. That was a holiday. It was a long holiday of 4 weeks. But there we only made private contacts. I did not work in the country. I walked into a couple of universities at the time, but I didn't really have the daily work there. So I think now for 4 months, I really have to integrate myself much more in the business situation and be part of the working life. I'm teaching at the university and doing some research. So I'm co-teaching with two Australian colleagues. And so I expect I will have to work very closely with them to synchronize the teaching that we're doing. I expect that the topics are going to be a little different, although I'm teaching something like intercultural communication. But I guess that in this context, it probably means something else, because it's a very big country. In Germany, going to a foreign country means getting on a train and getting off an hour later, and you're in a foreign country. And in Australia, of course, this is something different. And in Europe, we hear a lot on the news about cultural conflicts in the Middle East, for example. So I expect that the whole context will be a little different when I'm in Australia.
Okay, Lawrence, how can we find out what you will be doing in Australia? Or how do you keep in touch with people back home?
All right, yes. Again, of course, I tell my students that they should document everything. In the best case, that they should have a blog in place before they even start. Yeah, I have to work on this, I'm sure. I hope to get good internet access at the other end. I'll have an office at the university, so I can work from there. I think I will be probably a lot more active in social media like Facebook and Twitter, which I really don't use very often. I think I have an invitation from you to join a group from 3 weeks ago, which I still haven't answered. So I will be a lot more active there, I think, because I expect that this is a little bit the lifeline to back home, to the people back home and to my work here as well. So instead of sending to individual people, maybe I will be producing some kind of documentation, a blog, or I don't know yet, and then kind of distribute it strategically. But of course, I'm planning to use Skype and Flickr as well to stay in touch.
But to be honest, I think your first day abroad was before the time of Skype and Flickr and
a long
this
time
social media. And how did you manage at this time? Do you spend more time communicating today?
It must be difficult to understand how we communicated in the old days when we were abroad. It's probably difficult to imagine how you could do, basically the same thing with the traditional media. In my case, this was in the early 80s, very early 80s. Well, at the time, I remember I sent postcards and I sent letters, also with things I found in England. For example, I remember I always stuffed little pieces from the, newspaper clippings and whatever I found, funny things I noticed. I would put them in an envelope and send them home. Well, I guess nowadays you would do that probably in a blog, and then you would put a link to something funny which you found somewhere in the digital space. I took photographs. I got them developed in Brighton, in England at the time. And yes, I also put them into an envelope and sent them back to my girlfriend in Germany. So I'm sure that nowadays this is much easier done with Facebook or with Flickr. And instead of using Skype, which I'm planning to use now, and I've bought a little camera now to take with me to do that a little more professionally, yeah, I use the telephone. And on the campus, the university where I was, that I remember distinctly because it was so complicated. It was one of these red English telephone booths. And it was so complex because they, in the old days, they had a system whereby you first established the connection by dialing, but you could only put in the money afterwards. So you had to wait until the other person said hello, and then you had to cram in these coins into little slots, and some didn't stay in. So I remember that actually most of the communication was lost because I was trying to put in these little coins, which of course would never make a conversation longer than a minute or maximum 2 minutes, probably. I actually think that the communication needs were more or less the same, but nowadays the new media make it possible to have a lot more communication in one single day, even more exchanges in a single day when you look at email, for example. I expect that even when I'm very far away in Australia, I will not feel so far away when I get instant feedback and instant replies from people at work here in my office, for example, at least if I do that in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Please check out my next show to find out whether the visa finally arrived in time and what my first weeks at the Australian University held in store for me. Let's now go to our category Absolutely Abroad. One of the stimulators for my stay abroad was working for the German Academic Exchange Service, DARD. He was at Rhein A campus in order to present the Go Out campaign, in which he motivated students to do an internship abroad or to study in a foreign country.
Okay, my name is René Mörder, I'm 29 years old, and I have just finished my studies of history, politics and philosophy, and now I'm working since 2 months for the German Academic Exchange Service, DARD. And right now we're doing a campaign which is called Go Out, and within this program we drive through the different universities in Germany and just stop with our car there and collect flyers and informations for the people, for the students first of all, so that they can inform themselves about how to get scholarships for some semesters or some weeks, months or years, some practica, some language courses in foreign countries. And Go Out especially wants to raise the numbers of students which go outside of Germany from now 30% to 50%. Therefore, we started a kind of offensive. Why should students go abroad? I myself went abroad, not with the DID, but with Erasmus. And the experience, I guess, is the most important thing at the end, because the experience, like, you have to meet different people, to get into a different culture, and, like, at first of all, to learn a different language, is very important for the rest of your life, in the sense of you always want to go back there, you always have contact to the people from there. And so the intercultural thing, like Europe is growing together, is a more or less student thing, which grows from the bottom, and therefore the students can do a lot for the exchange and at all for the peace in Europe too. So students should go abroad for their own personality, but also for the European idea.
I think René is right. The steadily growing number of students who spend some time abroad is almost like a silent intercultural revolution. And perhaps this is the best way to ensure peace in the future, if we have good friends all over the world. As you heard in the first interview, the social media such as Facebook, Flickr, Twitter and company seem to become more and more important in our everyday lives. Some months ago, at the Anna Lindh Foundation's bloggers meeting in Luxembourg, I met Jessica Deer, an American citizen who lives in Lebanon. In 2008, she started a project which is called Social Media Exchange. You will hear that the social media isn't only Flickr and Twitter and Facebook and company, but also the ability to produce your own media like mapping, blogging and podcasting. Her organization offers training sessions which are specialized in social media exchange. The idea of it is to reach as many people as possible by using online tools or programs. Now, Jessica trains young people how to use the social media. She explains why these net-based tools are so important in Lebanon and why it is difficult to spread your news through the national radio or television channels. Her courses also help to bring different communities from different parts of Lebanon together. For example, the Christians and the Muslims. In our last category today, absolutely trained, Jessica tells us that her advantage is that she's an outsider with inside views and that she uses the social media for social change as a kind of common ground for the peer learning between the different intercultural groups.
You know, I'm an expat, so I see it in a very different way than most Lebanese probably see it. I'm married to a Lebanese man, and so I get the benefit of having a bit of inside look at things. And I work only with Lebanese in my office. We talk a lot about different perspectives on intercultural dialogue, just how much of what you see on a daily basis in the workplace or in the classroom is actually what happens more in the undercurrents. I think the aid organizations and the donor organizations that come, the largest part of what they do is about sort of conflict resolution, intercultural dialogue, conflict transformation. Sometimes I think that's not necessarily the most direct approach, is not necessarily the most effective approach. I think media in this case, at least I like to say so, is one of the ways in which we can foster the same sort of conflict resolution, transformation, intercultural dialogue, but without focusing specifically on that. It's kind of boring to talk just about that. Like, let's get interested in something else.
So you're talking about the media, and at the same time you're creating some kind of intercultural dialogue without calling it that. It's more on your hidden agenda?
It's not really hidden at all. One of our main objectives of our current project is to form a network of trainers from all over the country. We started off with about 45 people from the north and the south and the Bekaa Valley, which is sort of separated from Beirut and the rest of the country by a mountain range, but still is only about an hour and a half away. Lebanon's a very small country. And, you know, one of our objects, in even though internet access in Lebanon is lacking compared to most Western and so-called developed countries, we thought that having an online course was another way of trying to facilitate contact and dialogue or just interaction between people of from different communities. Mm-hmm. Because it's even in Beirut, which used to have West Beirut and East Beirut, and now sometimes you don't hear people talking about that. You will find Christians who've never met a Shia Muslim because they're so contained in their own communities. It's really fascinating.
But that happens in your courses. They sit side by side in your courses?
Well, of course, they sit side by side and side by side online, whatever that is. But one of our main objectives from the beginning was to form a network where, after the course is over, they have bonds that are tight enough, mm-hmm. and they have a common interest that they've bonded around that has nothing to do really with intercultural dialogue. And you know, the peer-to-peer learning can hopefully continue.
What is the subject matter? What are you concentrating on?
We're concentrating right now on ways of using social media for social change. So we look both at tools and how to use specific tools, as well as examples of how they've been used for social change all over the world. There are several examples of how they're being used in Lebanon. And right now we're working on developing projects, and soon we'll be putting a call out to the rest of civil society for their ideas and helping them work on their ideas through some of our strategic planning processes.
I hope you enjoyed the show, which took you from Germany to Australia and back to the Middle East. Please feel free to leave comments on our blog at absolutely-intercultural.com. If you have made experiences in foreign countries with different cultures, or if you have a story that should be told in this show, please contact us. The next show will be hosted by Anne Fox in Denmark on the 11th of December. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.